No, no, that question what you asked,
na?
I told you to SMS it to everybody.
SMS,
That is why I said you think about it. So what we'll do is after this class you give your question, let everybody note it down, then we'll give some time and then we'll come back and discuss. If necessary, like I said, we'll have a special class on it. So let us start now. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We'll chant verses 26 to 30, chapter 2, page 94. Ata chainam nitya jatam, ata chainam nitya jatam, nityam vamanya se mritam. Nityam vamanyase mritam tatapitvam mahabaho nainam shochitu marhasi ata chainam nitya jatam nityam vamanyase mritam tatapitvam mahabaho nainam shochitu marhasi. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu, dhruvam janma mrtasya cha, tasmadaparihar yete, natvam shochitu marhasi, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu, dhruvam janma mrtasya cha, tasmadaparihayete natvam shochitu marhasi. Avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktanidanan yeva tatra kapari devana avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktanidanam yeva tatra kapari devana. Ascharyavat vadati tataiva chanyaha Ascharyavaschainamanyashrunoti Shrutvapenam vedana chaiva kaschet Ascharyavaschainamanyashrunoti Shrutvapenam vedana chaiva kaschet. Dehi nityam avadhyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam shochitu marhasi देहि नित्यमवध्योऽयम् देहे सर्वस्य भारत तस्मात् सर्वाणि भूतानि चितुमर्हसि। From verse 26 of this chapter onwards, now Krishna comes down to the level of Arjuna and speaks. He has been speaking from the center so far, from his level. Therefore he was talking about Atma. What is Atma? The real nature of Atma. Now, having spoken from that height, he now comes down to the level of Arjuna. So he is talking here and says, even if you think, Arjuna, this has constantly been born and constantly dying, even then, O Mahabahu, O mighty armed, you should not grieve like this. Your grieving is not justified, even if I look at it from your point of view. If you think it is something that keeps on dying and keeps on taking birth, then what is there to grieve? That is Arjuna, that is Krishna's question. Certain indeed is death for the born, and certain is birth for the dead. Therefore you should not grieve over the inevitable. This is the message that Lord Krishna gives in the verse 26 and 27 of chapter 2, which we saw last week. So what does he say? If I come to your level and see, and if I for a moment have to agree with you that Atma is something that is born and dies, then also I don't see there is any problem, because the body, when it perishes, what happens to the body? The five elements that were that is the body, a body is composed of the five elements, goes back to the original elements. What is lost? Nothing is lost. And they get recycled also. And the content, the subtle body, goes from one gross body to another. And that is what he is saying here. When a person, if you take as if is capable of dying, and one who dies, then let us be rest assured, if death is certain for somebody who is born, then death cannot be the ultimate. Death cannot be a full stop, it can only be a kama. That is what Lord Krishna says here. Kama. If death is certain for the born, then birth is also certain for the dead. Therefore, death is not a finality. It is not an ultimatum. It is only a passing phenomenon. So if you are taking from this point of view, then also you need not worry. Certain indeed is death for the born, and certain indeed is birth for the dead. The old condition has died, the new condition has born. Another name for this world is change. Change means the old condition falls and the new condition begins. And the new condition will become old and it will fall, and another new condition will be born. You are constantly being born, you are constantly dying even while you are in this body. Right? There are so many changes happening right now. So the conditions, old ones wane away and the new ones come about. So all that Lord Krishna is saying here is, if you become aware of this fact, then you will accept it in totality. You will not only accept birth and reject death. And anything that you reject and resist will persist, will become a reality to you. Right? So what Krishna is saying is, how can you accept something partially? You are supposed to accept everything totally. If you see in your case, you are only seemingly accepting birth. You are not accepting death. You are rejecting death. In fact, all of us are rejecting death. But even a kshatriya who is ready to die on the battlefield, he is also rejecting death. In that sense, for him, living, being cursed by everybody is death. He rather physically die, but live, continue to live in everybody's heart with that name and fame. You understand? So basically, everybody, in short, we are only rejecting death, we are not accepting life totally. So Krishna's advice here is, Arjuna, accept everything totally. If you accept things totally, then you will not be mourning the old condition, you will be adapting to the new condition. And adaptation is the success. Success cannot be possible without adaptation. Right? Even when you are teaching on Bhagavad Gita, you have to adapt to the new technology. Right? The modern mind's examples need to be different. You have to adapt it to the context. In fact, the knowledge is dead. It has to be a living knowledge. For example, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna many years ago. Lord Krishna himself has given up his body. Bhagavad Gita is something that has come from many years ago. It is something very old. Right? It has to be brought to the living level. Otherwise, it is just associating with some dead words. You will associate those words which are apparently dead to the present context. You must marry these words to the present context. So all that Krishna is saying here is, see, one angle, it looks as if the old condition is dead, but a new condition is born. So every minute there is an opportunity for you to celebrate. A wise person has no time to mourn. But you are mourning because you are always identifying with the old condition, never living in the present, never living in the moment. Past moves in present. Future moves in present. Right? Everything is moving in present. Everything is happening in present. So what we need to understand here is, certain indeed. This is the only thing that is certain. What? Uncertainty. Birth and death are at the surface. And for the surface waves, there will be birth, there will be death. So far I was talking about ocean is beyond birth and death. Now I am coming to your level and speaking that waves have a beginning and an end. And that which ends again begins, again ends, again begins, again ends. So where is the reason for you to move? What came from dust goes back to dust, again it will rise from dust. So if you really understand, then also I see, Arjuna, only there is a reason for celebration. There is no reason for mourning. Even then I am not able to understand your case. This is because you are not accepting things totally, you are accepting things partially. So Lord Krishna is now trying to tell Arjuna that accept anything totally. If you accepted the good things that your parents gave to you when they were in their prime of youth, you should also accept the forgetfulness out of which they go on asking your name 10 times when they become older. You should accept that. But what is happening in today's context is, all the good things that they gave, I have accepted, I have taken. Now, when they have become old and they are giving me pain by asking my name 25 times, by forgetting things, now what do? I reject them. I send them back to the not back, I send them to the old age homes. What kind of a life I'm living is this? If you accept things, you must accept things totally. You want only the good side of your spouse. There is no such thing as everybody being good. There is no such thing as everybody being bad. Anything that came into existence will have to die. Anything that had a beginning will have to meet with an end. So why don't you accept things totally? We only are stuck with a part, not with the whole. So this is like Krishna's advice here. He's saying, no, see things in totality. Don't see things in partiality. You would have had no problem in fighting if it was not Bhishma or Drona or anybody else on the other side. And looking at it partially, look at it from the total point of view. Why are you looking at it from your point of view? Personal angle. All of us, when we go to work is becoming a burden because I am looking at it from a personal angle. If I look at it from the total, then I become an insignificant part of the total. But if you see, the ego always wants to have a significant role. Isn't it? So it wants to be given importance to itself. So this is the problem, Arjuna, he is saying. So please look at things in totality. This is inevitable. In fact, the fact that something is born means it is started to
die.
Started the process of disappearing. Birth itself is an indication that the process of disappearing has begun. Disappearance doesn't mean it is not existent. It is not visible to you. You have taken the disappearance to be death of Atma. It's not like that. It is just disappeared. From where it came, it's going back. So very birth itself is nothing but what? The beginning of disappearance. You go to any auditorium, an auditorium will not have only entry, it will also have exit. For everything there has to be a beginning and an end. If you understand it totally, then you will not expect things to be permanently going on forever. It is the very expectation that is creating the grief. It is not the happening, but your expectations. Which is because you don't seem to accept things totally. We want the good things of Delhi, not the bad things. Right? The weather, the traffic. Other things you enjoy. You go to other cities, you say, oh, very narrow roads. Delhi has wide roads. Compared to some of the cities, Delhi has more trees in spite of them. Taking away a lot of trees. So there are other good things in Delhi. Being the capital of India, there are a lot of good things happen in Delhi. There are other bad things that happens. You cannot avoid one and just have one. This is the problem. We are living like, we are always in select mode. Selective mode. The selective mode is a problem. The day you understand the depth of what Lord Krishna is saying, then death becomes a celebration. Because there is actually no loss. So, welcoming the new condition and adapting to it. One who is able to survive in the new condition. By cribbing about it, can you do anything about somebody who is dead and gone? He is dead and gone. You must quickly adapt to the new condition. And that is what Lord Krishna is saying here. Your problem is because you are expecting the path to be the whole. Path cannot be the whole. By you asking for it, path can never become the whole, how much ever you try. The moon has two phases, right? Today is Amavasya, right? Now from today onwards, it will be going on,
increasing
towards full moon, and from full moon, it will be going towards Amavasya. That's life. So look at it totally. You want the moon to be full moon all the time. You want your husband to be all the time in good and charitable mood. You want your wife to be all the time in, you know, serving mode. She also would like to get served by you, right? So there are phases. Nothing can stay on forever, right? So therefore, understand and don't go with your mind. Mind seems to go when something is happening, it starts getting worried. Oh, I only hope this stays long. Means what? It's already gone to its disappearance. So it becomes unhappy even when some good situation is there, because it doesn't want it to lose that. All that I want, God, is a son, a daughter. And then all that I want, oh God, is a grandson or a granddaughter. That's all you pray. And then after some time you pray, all that I want is, oh God, please make sure that he lives long. You do not want this condition to go. This expectation is a spoil sport. This expectation is a spoil sport. Because your understanding is partial. You always want the favorable condition to continue. You wish it continues. This doesn't mean you keep expecting it to disappear. When it is there, enjoy that. When it is gone, enjoy that also. You should be comfortable in both. Simple meal and buffet meal. Life cannot be giving you all the time a certain thing. It is uncertain. You don't have to expect things to change rapidly, and when it changes, you do not have to resist it. Adapt to it. Once you adapt, Arjuna, then you realize the same situation, instead of being a situation for mourning, becomes a situation for celebration. Same thing. What you were thinking is a situation for mourning, in that there is a situation for celebration. You have no idea. You were criticizing yesterday your driver because he came late and he, because of you or because of him, you had to miss the flight. And then you came to know the flight met with an accident, crashed. Now you have increased his salary. He is what you were criticizing yesterday. Because of that fellow, you now feel you are living. So you think you owe your life to him. You have no idea. Learn to accept things totally. Isn't it? The biggest problem is we are all wanting to accept things partially, not totally. In fact, we go on believing that a person will have only everything positive and good about him. We are imagining such people. Therefore, when you, what you think, like you were asking a question before the class about Durvasa Muni and all those people, you are thinking they are having some association with it. They have no association with it. But when you see certain behaviors being manifested in them, you say, my God, I thought he was absolutely fine. I never knew that he has this problem. You understand? Because you are projecting a situation, your mind always thinks, like when we conclude that story, Cinderella lived happily ever after. God knows what happened to her life afterwards. Her husband might have murdered her and got married to someone. God knows. You understand? Story ended there. You always would like to end the story in a positive note. Right? So this is the thing. If you project the Cinderella story further, I don't know, you cannot be all the way everything good. In fact, if you understand this, what Krishna is saying is, actually there cannot be anything else other than good. See, that's what I'm trying to say. Everything that is happening is for your good. At that point in time, it looks as if it is negative. Now there is this story which everybody must have known about it, where a king had the habit of going for shikari, you know, for hunting. And he used to go with his minister all the time. He wanted some company, so he used to take his minister. And this minister had the habit of saying, everything is good. Everything that is happening for us is for our good only. The king always got fed up with him, but then, you know, anyway, this fellow is a good company, so let me take him with me. So one day, something happened by mistake, he had cut his fingers, the king. So the minister said, this is also for your good. What rubbish, I cut my finger and you are saying it's for my good. Put him behind bars. And he went to shikari, hunting, alone. When he lost his direction and he got caught by tribals, cannibals. And they were going to sacrifice him. But the sacrifice should be pure, should not be hurt or anything. So they found that guy having some wound. So they said, let him go. Because of this, we will not kill you. We cannot sacrifice you. So he came running and he came and fell at the feet of the minister and said, my God, you said everything is for my good. So now I realize. But then I still have some doubt, he said. What is the doubt? I cut my fingers and that saved me. Okay, I understand. But I put you behind bars. How is that good for you? He said, sir, Maharaj, if you had not put me behind bars, you would have taken me with you. I am not wounded anywhere, they would have sacrificed me, it is for my good. See, we don't understand. We always look at it from our angle and we feel it is bad. But from the total angle, you cannot call a thing good or bad. So from the total angle, it's always for good only.
How look at it karma?
Karma is, like Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. So if you had paid something, if you had done anything with a doership attitude, if it's a doership attitude, if you did some, acted on some good desire, then obviously you will have punya. If you did some, acted on some bad desire, selfish desire, self-centric desires, then you'll be gathering certain pop. Then according to the punya and pop, you will be going around. And this will be fitting into the total plan. Everybody reaps what they sow. Right? So the point is, here, from our angle, we always look at things as good or bad. Good or bad. In fact, we don't understand that certain things what we felt as good for us, now we realize it is bad for us. When you were an adolescent, you felt it was good for you to indulge in your likes and dislikes. Now you have grown up from that and you realize, my God, I have lived my life licentiously going by my likes and dislikes. I have done all sorts of nonsense to me. I have burnt myself. Right? Now I don't want my children to go into likes and dislikes. Isn't it? Oh, I'm scared, sir. You know how it is. Today's world is not as What is how it was when we were there. In spite of it, we still spoil it us. I only pray and wish, oh God, that they don't go into likes and dislikes without thinking. So what was good for you once upon a time, which you thought is fantastic, excellent to be indulgent, now you don't want that your son or daughter to be going through. So what good and bad are we talking about? What good do we see in birth and what bad do we see in death? We have no idea. You understand? These are all actual confusions. So Lord Krishna is simply saying, don't take sides. There is death inherent in birth. There is birth inherent in death. Energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It keeps on transforming itself from one energy to another energy. There is no loss. Even if you want to create a loss, you cannot create a loss to the totality. That is the advice Lord Krishna is giving here. Who are you? You think you can create a loss? It is impossible. Like Lord Tennyson says, old order changeth yielding place to the new. So why do you want to look at always on the negative side? Why don't you look at on the both sides? You understand? So accept totally. When you accept, when you start accepting anything totally, then there is no problem. But the problem is we always, our mind always wants definitions. Can you define God? Define God means what? Divide God from the total. You always want to divide things. This is the problem. Our intellect always wants to divide and rule. Divide and understand. But this is something which is indivisible. It's total. You cannot understand it that way. So accept things totally, not partially. He continues. Avyaktadini bhutani. Avyaktadini bhutani. Vyaktamadhyani bharata. Vyaktamadhyani bharata. Avyaktanidananyeva. Avyaktanidananyeva. Tatrakaparidevana. Tatrakaparidevana. Avyaktadini bhutani. Vyaktamadhyani bharata. Avyaktanidananyeva. Tatrakaparidevana. Beings are unmanifest in their origin, manifest in their middle, unmanifest again in their end. Oh Bharata, what is there to believe about? Avyakthadini bhutani. In the beginning, it is unmanifest. Vyakta madhyani Bharata. In the middle, it is manifest. Then he says, avyakta, avyakta nidanani. In the end also, it has become unmanifest. The same thing, I think again said by Mark Twain only. He says, life is an arrow. No, I think I'm confused whether it's Mark Twain or Matthew Arnold. I think it's Matthew Arnold. He says, life is an arrow shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while, disappears into darkness. Life is an arrow shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while and disappears into darkness. Same thing. Beings are manifest in the middle, in between two unmanifestations. And in between two manifestations, there is unmanifest. If an arrow has come, now what we need to understand here is, this is the important thing that we need to understand. You look at the statement. It was unmanifest before, it was manifest now, then it comes to unmanifestation, is all he says. So this we can look at it in a linear way. If we look at it in a linear way, from unmanifestation, what came into manifestation, when it has gone into manifestation, it is gone for good. But if you look at it cyclically, that which went into unmanifest will have to again come back to manifest. That's what he's saying. So in life, nothing is linear. We are talking about infinite here. When you talk about infinite, the line is defined in mathematics as what? an arc of a circle whose radius is infinite. An arc of a circle whose radius is infinite. This is cyclic, Arjuna. Don't expect this cyclic thing to be coming to a standstill and have this notion that the manifest will continue forever. The cycle has to continue. Who are you to think that this cycle should stop? It's not going to stop. Continues. As long as you have not understood a thing remains a mystery, you will be scared about it. The way to come out of it is to go into deep into it and understand it. Once you understand it, then you will be out of it. For example, wealth. Till you do not understand wealth, you will not come out of it. By going to the length and accumulating more and more wealth, you don't understand wealth. You are still floating at the surface. By going to the depth of it, by consciously moving into it, you will understand it. You don't understand anger because you don't go into it. You keep on rejecting. I don't get angry.
How can you go into these things?
Acceptance is what I'm talking about. Nobody accepts anger. I don't get angry. Or, yes, I do get angry. I'm angry, but then, because you know that person comes and does like this, anybody will get angry. You have not understood anger fully. You accept anger fully, you go into it, then you will have the capacity to be out of it. You will have nothing to do with it. You will neither allow it to not surface, nor allow it to surface all the time. You will be out of it. So the whole acceptance is all that Lord Krishna is talking about here in this whole thing. Unmanifest, manifest, and manifest. So this is very significant verse in the sense we all get caught in what is manifest and we do not want it to go into unmanifest because we don't understand that this is a cyclic order. Therefore all our life we are somehow struggling against the nature to make sure that what has come into manifestation doesn't go into unmanifestation. This fighting with nature you are bound to lose. By fighting you are bound to lose. By accepting you will win. We are all fighting in our relationships. That is why you are a failure in your relationships. Somebody has failed divorcing, somebody has failed continuing without divorcing. That's about it. But failure is a failure. Because you always are fighting in your relationships. If you accept it totally, all other beings other than human beings accept things totally. You understand? But it is only we who do not accept things totally. So vyaktham adhyani bharata, O Arjuna, things seems to be manifest. But remember, it is coming from unmanifest. So when we are manifest, we look as if we are different from each other. But where are we going back to?
Unmanifest.
Same unmanifest. The rivers look as if they are different, but where have they come from? The ocean. Where are they going back to? The same ocean. So when we focus ourselves on the manifestation, there seems to be a lot of differences. When we focus on the unmanifestation, there is oneness. So with oneness, you will be moving in your manifested state. Today you are moving with the differences in your manifested state. Hence this manifested state seems to be a pain for you. flower looks different, na? But lots of flowers have come in the same branch. And that branch seems different from another branch. But that branch has come from the same tree. That tree seems to be different from another tree, but it has come from the same soil. That soil seems to be different from another soil, but it's all belonging to the same earth. Earth seems to be different from other planets, but it's all belonging to the same universe. Roots are unmanifest to us. But without roots, the flowers cannot be. So all that he is trying to say here is, understand man, the good and bad, birth and death, all these pairs of opposites are coming from that same unmanifest. If you go into that unmanifest, for that person there is no birth and death. For that person there is no good and bad. When you were a small child, you had no feeling of this is mine and that is mine. You had no feeling of this is good or this is bad. Right? But in between stage comes where you start feeling this is good, this is bad. But then when you again wake up to the reality, and again you come to the stage where this is not mine, this is not yours. That mine feeling itself is not there. You cross over. So in between we become stupid. As children, we were ignorantly innocent. We have to move from innocence to innocence. This is the in-between stage. You understand? So the point is, these unmanifest and manifest words that Lord Krishna is using is very, very significant. When you see somebody manifesting the good side of him or her, understand he has a lot of negative things maybe which is unmanifest now. There are a lot of negative things that he is manifesting. Understand there is a lot of good things behind. When the sun is manifesting fully in the afternoon, it is showing its ugra rupam, too much of heat. Understand the good things are unmanifest. It's going to come. So you are not going to resist it. You are going to accept that also. When you go to the temple, a prasad is given. A prasad is a mixture of everything. Sweet, sour, spice and everything. You have to accept things totally. But the problem is, I only accept the manifest, not the unmanifest. I only accept this, not that. So, if I focus on that oneness, my life, the in-between period between two unmanifests, becomes heaven. If I focus on the differences, the life in between the two unmanifestation period becomes hell. So I make my life heaven or I make my life hell. So he says, if things are coming and going, what is there to grieve? We need to understand this. That's why I said it is not a linear movement, it's a cyclic movement. That is what Lord Krishna is trying to explain here. That which rose from ocean has gone back to ocean. We are all same when we are part of the ocean. When we come out, then there is difference. When there is a war that is about to come, or when there is a cricket match that is about to come between India and Pakistan, then we suddenly become one. We are all one. Same group supporting the Indian team, Indian people. And suddenly that is gone, then fighting with each other. The differences are manifest. So this is the problem. If you understand from where things has come, that one has become many, and many has become one again. That's all. But we don't focus on that one. We always focus on the many. And therefore there's a problem. The grieving is for what? Grieving is for whom? For somebody who focuses on the minimum. Somebody who focuses on the manifestation, not on the roots. If your focus is on the fruits, there is grief. If your focus is on the roots, no grief. There can be no fruits without roots. But all of us focus on the fruits. All of us are interested in the result. If your focus can only be on the action, where is the grief? But our joy or happiness depends on the results. And therefore we continue to suffer. A wise person do not grieve because he understands that fruits are not possible without roots. Manifestation, if something has manifested, that means something is there in unmanifest. So you will not resist somebody's anger. You will say, it was there in him, it has come out. How can they behave like this? How can they behave? It's there inside. So what we know is only the tip of the iceberg. That's what he's saying. Arjuna, what we know is only the tip of the iceberg. Manifest is only tip of the iceberg. Even psychology says that. You saw this, there was a latest movie, forget the name. Where you go? Inception. Mm-hmm. Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
Go into the dream, into the dream, into the dream. If you go and put some thought there, you know, that's how it will function. If you hypnotize a person and in his psyche you say it's a conflagration, I will give him a very cold stone and tell him what you are holding is nothing but a fireball, he will actually feel it. Not only that, he actually gets burnt. You understand? What we know is only the tip of the iceberg. Outside jo hum dekh rahe, the behavior, the action and everything, only tip of the iceberg. There is much, much more which you do not know. So see the whole thing in totality. Don't go by that small little thing that you have seen. If something seems to be lost here, it is born somewhere else, it's gained somewhere else. You don't know. It is not visible to your eyes, therefore you think it has disappeared. Yes, it has disappeared from your point of view, but it actually, from the total point of view, nothing can be disappeared. Nothing can disappear. What is, will be, will continue to be. Nobody can make it dissolve. That's all he is saying. If you understand it that way, then Arjuna, where is the grief? Unnecessarily you are sitting and grieving, just knowing the tip of the iceberg. There is a lot to go deep and dig. Don't think you know everything. The focus should be in going within. But what happens is, we focus and die with what little we know. We swear with what little we know. What we know is only a tip of the iceberg. This manifestation is nothing. There is much more remains unmanifest. What kind of discoveries that they have made and inventions that they have made so far is only a tip of the iceberg. There is much more unknown. Right? If you look at it from any angle. So, you are suffering because you do not know the depth of anything. You don't enter anything totally. The moment you enter anything totally, the fear will go. you really accept every energy in you totally, then you will not become a slave to that energy. But if you categorize them as good and bad and don't understand it fully, then it remains a big source of fear for you. I understand my parents fully well. They don't give fear to me. But a stranger, I don't know anything about him. So there is fear. Right? So by running away from anything, you cannot conquer it. By moving into it consciously, you conquer it. And what you run away from keeps on following you. What you move into, you cross over and go beyond it. So Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but living consciously. Grihastha Ashrama is moving into the contacts consciously. When you move into the conscious life consciously, you grow out of it and then come to Vanaprastha stage and Sannyasa stage. By running away from it, you never come out of it. You get stuck by it. You get stuck in it. You just put on a different robe, that's all. You have not come out of it. You are still stuck with it. You are not yet free. How to become free? By accepting things totally, not by running away from it. There's a lot of people who have an experience of abuse and they run away from that situation and they go into some other situation. Again the same thing repeats. If you learn to move into it fully, you stare at a monkey, the monkey runs away. You run away from the monkey, it starts chasing you. It is said in Swami Vivekananda's story, once when he was walking along the river, Banaras was somewhere, some monkeys were chasing him, he was running. And the fellow said, "Why are you running? They're chasing me, therefore I'm running. Just turn and stare at them." He did that, they ran away. You stare at anger, which is coming from within you. Stare at it. Don't deny it. The jealousy, don't deny. I am never jealous. You understand? The moment you stare at it, you have the courage to look at it, you fully view it, you understand it fully, oh, this much what it is, then where is the fear? You've known it. When somebody throws the ball at you, when you are awake and looking at them and the ball is coming towards you, you see it fully, then you catch it. You know, when you play cricket also, if they keep on watching the bowler's hands, they want to know how they grip the ball and whether it's going to swing in or swing out, is it going to be a bouncer and all that, right? The more focused and he looks at him fully, he's not scared of the ball, even if it comes 150 miles, 150 kilometers per hour, whatever it might be. And even if it's a full bouncer, he looks at it fully and he lets it go, he bends or he hits it for a six. But for a moment he took his eyes off. Then you think, where is the ball? He's confused. So he goes on protecting his head with his hand and all that. All sorts of things he does. So when you look at things totally, there is no fear. You don't fear of anything. But by not looking at things totally, by rejecting it, by not accepting it, you continue burying yourself in it. This is life.
Very often when you are angry, you are aware of it. You know you are getting angry and you are telling yourself, I am getting angry. But how do you counter it? You kind of, you are aware of it. You accept that you are angry. But at that time you can't control it.
go through
even
that.
Knowing that you would do angry and I should control it, but it's still out of control.
The more the awareness increases, the more you will see anger will not be able to survive. By rejecting it, by suppressing it, nothing will happen. A lot of us are just suppressing it. Go through it consciously. Go through that experience consciously. Any experience. The problem is, see, it's called as Grihastha Ashrama. Grihastha Ashrama means what? Going through your life with awareness. But we go through things in a sleeping mode. When we start going through things in a sleeping mode, we never come out of it. Because we have not understood it fully. You are comfortable when there is understanding. You are not comfortable when there is no understanding. And understanding can happen only when you accept, not when you reject. Only when you start moving in it consciously. Yes, I have this anger. Right? Accept totally. I also have the other qualities, I also have this quality. You accept it. Don't accept it with an idea that yes, I have this anger, tomorrow I'll conquer it. Then you are refusing to accept. Because you are saying, it is there now because that fellow came and irritated me, but I'll rest assured it will be gone tomorrow. Means what? Today I am appearing to you as bad, but I am actually only good, you will come to know that tomorrow. It's a very intelligent way of putting it. Why do you want to look at anger as good or bad? Look at it totally, entirely. Have the courage to face it. Even the cancer patients, it is easy for you to talk all these things, but the patients, some of them who have survived cancer, when they speak, they share determination. What does it mean? They faced it. They faced it totally. They accepted it totally. They never rejected. Oh, this cancer has come, poor me, I don't know, I'm suffering, what is going to happen to me? If there is so much of rejection, then they succumb to cancer. And those who face it fully, a lot of people survive. Whether they survived cancer or not, anyway you have to die, you might die with cancer, whatever. But they never succumbed to cancer even though they had cancer. You see so many people, some of them didn't even, others didn't even know that they had cancer. The way they were behaving, conducting themselves. Others didn't know that they had cancer. Only after he or she died, oh, he had cancer. You understand? As far as cancer is concerned, he's come out of it fully. It may have certain effects on the body level, but as far as he is concerned, he never succumbed to cancer. His body might have succumbed to cancer. This is the thing. If deep inside you accept things totally, once you have accepted, you are not expecting it to go or not to go. That is what conquering is, truly speaking. And therefore it loses its significance, it will not catch hold of your mind. Now what you are resisting catches hold of your mind because it has significance. And once it catches your mind, then it doesn't go that easily. So, unmanifest. So we want always to be in manifest. We want the manifest to be eternal. Manifest cannot be eternal. It has to go into and manifestation. So, you see, anything in nature comes into existence, goes back to and manifestation. Again comes, again goes. Similarly, thoughts arise in us, they go back. Right? I will have nothing to do with that which arises and goes back. I am a witness. The moment you understand this cycle, then you become a witness to this cycle, you've jumped out of this cycle. That is liberation. As long as you continue to be in the cycle, you will continue. So what is liberation? Liberation is taking a jump out of it. What is that? Not running away from it. By totally understanding it, then what happens is you relieve yourself from it. Because you come immediately a witness to it. You are openly seeing both the manifest and the unmanifest. You have the courage to see the death, but the courage to see the birth. In fact, I have a DVD on Ganges. You know, we must watch it one day when we have time. It's amazing how the old things go on, dying and creating new possibilities. The new possibilities are inherent in the death of the old things itself. Right? When a new person takes over an organization, some of the ideas that he comes up with is brilliant. You may sometimes feel, are such a simple thing? How did not click to me? How did this not click to me? Isn't it? Suddenly a flowering happens. In fact, stagnation is death. Going on, stagnating in the same condition is death. You've got to keep moving at the surface. Since the river is constantly flowing, it's fresh. So this disappearance is for the good. This appearance is for the good. And appearance and disappearance are two sides of the same coin. They're not two different things. They're not opposites. They look to you as opposites. Therefore you oppose them. But if you understand that they're not opposites, then you start opposing them. Once you start opposing them, then you're out of it. Anything you oppose will continue. Therefore move in it totally. Understand that they are not actually opposites. They appear to you as opposites, but they are two sides of the same coin. A lot of us don't know many people in their unmanifest form. We only know them in their manifest form. A lot of actors and actresses, have you ever seen them without makeup? Sometimes when you see them without makeup, you probably may not be able to recognize them. Say, you? Can't be. Maybe some body dupe you are. Cannot be you. Right? So we are all relating with each other, only knowing the tip of the iceberg of that person. We don't know anybody fully. Therefore, any day that person could be a threat to you. Once you know the person fully, there is no fear. When the mother is like that, shouting at the child is not that much affected, because child knows mother in its entirety. Isn't it? Child knows the mother in its entirety. Okay, if she gives me 2-3 beatings, that means some special item she's going to make in the evening. She knows. You understand? She knows. Child knows the mother fully. This is the thing. You see, our relationships are all at the external tip of the iceberg level. Everybody is coming. You know, this is called as persona. Persona means mask. You always know person with a mask. So you see them without that mask, you cannot recognize. It actually happened to me. You know, somebody who has been attending my classes for many years, he has never seen me in a pant and shirt. He has always seen me in dhoti and kurta. So one day in the airport, he was actually coming straight looking at me, and I was looking at him. I don't know, maybe he was looking through me or whatever. But if I was in dhoti and kurta, I would not have missed him. I was in casual jeans and t-shirt and all that. He didn't realize. Innocent. Then I said, "Hi, how are you, sir?" He looked at me and said, "Hi, sir. This is the problem. We don't meet really the real person. We only meet the masks. Manifest and unmanifest should be taken totally. Why do you want to take things in partial? You take it and then you suffer and then blame the world. Whose fault is this? You know, everybody is putting on a mask. You are also in mask, he is also in mask. So the two real persons have never met with each other. And they meet, it is very shocking. Oh, I didn't know it's you. Shocking. Very few people have seen you without makeup, without your mask. Right? So that is the point. These are very deep verses. You know, each verse we can spend so much time on it. By going into the depth of it. And it is very significant verses, what Lord Krishna is talking about here. If you go on digging, there is much more in it. So manifest, unmanifest.
Unmanifest.
And then again, unmanifest. It goes on. This is not a linear movement, it's a cyclic movement. It will continue. If you understand it in its totality, that time you come out of it. So to understand it totally, you have to accept things totally. Then you come out of it. So anybody who wants to be out of it will have to be in it totally. One day I will be out of it is a person who is not moving into it totally. Therefore you will never come out of it. You want to get rid of cigarette? Go through that experience whenever you are going through fully. With total awareness and acceptance. Then cigarette will leave you slowly. It can happen next moment, it can happen within few days. Don't do anything with guilt. With a semi-understanding. The mind always has its own conclusions. And it makes you move. You are going through it, but you are not fully in it. Obviously, it's a situation for grief. So, yeah, it's given in the book. It's Matthew Arnold who said, "Life is an arrow shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while, and disappears into darkness." Be brave and move into it totally. And a person who has accepted the possibility of dying in a swimming pool only can learn swimming. Isn't it? I don't want to get wet at all, but I want to learn swimming. Is it possible? Take a plunge. Move into it consciously. Vedanta never encourages you to leave it, run away from it, because you just cannot leave it. It helps you to come out of it. And the way to come out of it is to move into it totally. That is the message Lord Krishna is giving here. you know, masters have a different way of educating. If a person is scared of going, they push him to go there. And a person is raring to go, they prevent him from going. It's very interesting. You say, this fellow wants to go into it, you are saying don't go. This fellow doesn't want to go, and you are pushing him to go there. You have to be made to accept that which you fear. Because that is where your bondage is. That is where you are finding your limitation. Isn't it? So there they push you. Come on, do it. Face it. You want to run away? No, face it, face it, face it, face it. And then there comes a time when it is nothing for you. You just go through, and then you say, oh my God, there was no limitation. I was creating a limitation. I have a limitation. I cannot live without it. Therefore, masters want to teach you how to live without it. I can't live in it. Masters teach you how to live in it. Because per se, there is nothing. You should be out of it. You know, this is very, very interesting to know about the true masters. We have our own ideas about what is good and what is bad. So we want our masters to be the projection of our mind. But a true master can never be a projection of your mind. Are you able to accept your master totally? Very difficult. You are accepting the master as long as he came in the clothes that you wanted him to be coming in. As long as he was dancing according to your tunes, you say, fine, he is my master. The moment he danced in a new method, new tune, then you say, he is no more my master. You are ready to reject him also. A lot of masters live in the fear of getting rejected only, because they are not true masters. And a true master has nothing to do with, he has no problem in dancing according to your tune. He also dances according to any tune. He can even dance without any tune. With or without, you should be comfortable. Then you know how to live. If I am not invited to a party, I am miserable. If I am not invited to a get-together, I am miserable. Or, if I am invited to a get-together, I am miserable there. Because I am a spiritual person, how can I be comfortable in a discotheque? If you are a spiritual person, you should be comfortable there. You are neither here nor there. You should be comfortable. So that is the point here. He is asking Arjuna to dare. And later on he is going to say, you are a Kshatriya. Even from that point of view, you must plunge into action. So if you see, it's a beautiful thought flow that Lord Krishna is giving here. So he is saying, things come in between, they go away, but remember, it will again come back. You cannot escape. Where will you escape? Can you escape? There is no way you can escape. Even if you go to Himalayas, it's going to come. So Arjuna said, let me go away. Arey Baba, even if you go there, it will come back, it will manifest again. We'll chant next verse, 29. Ashcharyavat pasyati kaschidhenam. Ashcharyavat pasyati kaschidhenam. Ashcharyavat vadati tataiva chamyaha. ఆశ్చర్యవద్వదతి తథైవ జాన్యః ఆశ్చర్యవశ్చైనమన్యశృణోతి ఆశ్చర్యవశ్చైనమన్యశృణోతి శ్రుత్వాప్యేనం వేదన చైవ కశ్చేత్ శ్రుత్వాప్యేనం వేదన చైవ కశ్చేత్ ఆశ్చర్యవత్ పశ్యతి కశ్చిదేనం ఆశ్చర్యవద్వదతి తథైవ జాన్యః ఆశ్చర్యవశ్చైనమన్యశృణోతి శ్రుత్వాప్యేనం వేదన చైవ కశ్చేత్. వన్ సీస్ దిస్ యాజ్ అ వండర్. So also another speaks of this as a wonder. Another hears of this as a wonder. And though having heard, none knows this at all. This is such a secret verse. Very difficult to understand this verse. It's a very important verse also. Off-quoted verse. One sees this as a wonder. The self. In fact, it is very rare to find a person seeing having time to see in the direction of the self. If you say you have a get together today in your house with Bill Gates, so many people will be calling you saying, I would like to come, I would like to come. Right? If you say there is somebody going to come and talk about Atma, except you, nobody is there. Rarely there is a person who it is very difficult and rare. It's a wonderment if you find somebody who has some time to spend in search of Atma. One sees this as a wonder. One sees this worthy to be going after. To see such person itself is a wonder. Isn't it? Everybody is moving towards this direction. To find a person, say, something completely opposite direction is very difficult. For example, when the whole world is going after materialism, name, fame, power, position, success, etc., one fellow decides to go into the depth of his research. Hardly known. Very rare. Very rarely you find a person who takes an independent decision. So he says, Ascharyam, Ascharyam. One sees this as a wonder. One sees this with an wonderment also. What is this self? Search is happening at the thought level, not at the actual level. There is questions and not quest. Questions will be answered and more questions will come. A quest is not looking for an answer. Questions are looking for an answers, and answers can only bring in more questions. Because it's a search with a thought. Even at the thought level, searching for it, very rare. So even if you find somebody who searches for it at the thought level, it is very rare and wonderment to you. Very rarely you find a person whom you can find even at the top level wanting to study Bhagavad Gita and all that. And that also at a young age, it's very, very rare. It's almost impossible. Because that's the time you feel this is the time to make money. This is the time to do this. This is the time to do all that. After all that is over, if I have time, I'll come to it. That is what is very commonly seen. So you find somebody at a very young age, only interested in this, it's a wonderment to you. Can there be a person like this also? Yes, no doubt his search may be at the thought level now, But it's a wonderment. And another speaks of this as a wonder. Even if a person is self-realized soul, the moment he tries to express what is inexplicable in words. See, this is the problem. The experience of the self is inexplicable in words. And he is speaking of it, knowing very well it is inexplicable. Is he mad? He's not mad. He only feels in between he might feel something. Because his focus is not in wanting you to focus on his speech. His focus is in wanting you to focus on the gap in between the speech. The silence in between the speech. You say that person's lecture was wonderful. You say this person's lecture was horrible. So horrible person's lecture made you sleep. Wonderful person's lecture made you be in a high. But both of them have failed. Because what they actually wanted to happen to you was, they wanted you to see the gap in between the thoughts that they were making. The noise is being made so that you become conscious of the silence in between. And somebody is so such an expert in making that noise in a melody. Somebody is jarring note. But the focus is, oh, he's jarring his melody and all that, you get caught in that. But end of the day, what they wanted you to see is the silence in between the speech. So he says, it's a wonderful thing, very rarely people speak about it. And very rarely a master speaks, because he knows even speech is not going to help. Because anything he speaks, people are going to get involved in his speech. That is why you will see there are people who glorify Krishna's speech, they will fight against Muhammad's speech. And there are all people who have fallen for Muhammad's speech fighting with Christ's speech. This is going on. Everybody is at the surface level. They had spoken many things, but their whole focus was to make you see the silence in between. But you get caught in Sangeet. That's the problem. Ascharyam. Very rare you find a person who will see the silence in between. Then we change the gears in our car. Every time you change the gear, it is moving into the neutral and then going. How many of us really focus on that neutral gear? You are passing through this present moment, but you keep missing it. It is ascharyam. How you miss it is ascharyam. For the realist soul, they cannot understand how you are missing it. And asking questions. So many questions intelligently. And the more questions you ask, they know, my God, what a wonderment is this. He's standing very much there and he's asking questions. He's lost in questions. It's ascharyam for them. And they are giving you an answer. When they give you an answer, what are they trying to do? It's like pointing. You get caught up in their hands and fingers. Very beautifully manicured and pedicured, sir. Your hands are. You get caught in that. Hey Baba, I am trying to point at something. Why are you getting caught in my answer? My answers are bound to be having some faults. Because answers are also at the periphery, questions are also at the periphery, but the answers are pointing at the center. You go on missing the center. It is ascharya. When it is there and you miss it, isn't it ascharya? You have the time to ask questions, but you have no time to realize it. It's there. Another hears of this as a wonder. So from the self-realized masters, another person is hearing. Going on hearing. Though having heard, none knows this at all. That's why I told you. You're all caught up in the words. Shakespeare says words, words, words. Polonius is asking Hamlet, in the play Hamlet, And because when he sees Hamlet reading a book, he asks, "What it is thou, my love?" Hamlet replies, "Words, words, words." Vedas are also words. I'm not saying this. Lord Krishna himself is saying this. Then we go to verse number 42, 43, 44, you will see there. These are words. Words are not significant. What they are indicating is significant. But then the problem is, we get caught in the words. It is so difficult for us to see the truth which is there right now. You know, that's why, you know, a lot of times happens, everybody quickly tries to take notes. Then sometimes they miss something. So they're so worried that they missed the truth. So they go and take note. Oh, what did he say between this and that and this and that? And then you write down that. Then you are very happy. I've got it now. You haven't got it. You have got everything that you should not be giving it. You go on missing, what should have actually got it? Duryodhana went and he came back very satisfied from Krishna, getting the entire Narayana Seva, Narayana army. He was very satisfied. We are all like Duryodhans. Arjuna got what he wanted. He came back with Krishna. Lot of us go, come back with Krishna's army. And miss it. Miss the truth. This is the problem. You are very close, yet you miss it. Because you are standing at the shore of intellect. You have to cross beyond that also. You are hearing that only, yet you are not knowing it. The bird chirping can trigger you to that divinity. But it doesn't. Before you heard the birds chirping, there was silence. After the birds chirping, there is silence. During, there is silence. But you don't realize it during at all. You get caught in the chirping. So, one wishes to see through thoughts. Even people wanting to see through thoughts is very rare. And even if one wishes to see through thoughts, he cannot see it. And if one goes beyond thoughts and sees it, and then speaks of his experience, and you hear what he speaks, firstly, even if he speaks, he cannot explain words with words. And that is another wonder. And even if you hear his words, you still don't see and understand what he is speaking. Nobody knows the truth. That's the problem. Many people are actually not interested in the truth. That is why a lot of people, when they keep asking questions, you tell them, forget questions. Are you ready to have a darshan of God right now? Thoda sa time ledo. Not now, now it's not possible. You say it's a very important thing for me, but now it's not possible. Now you just answer the question, tomorrow I'll come and meet him. Because meeting requires your dissolution. Snow doesn't want to meet sunlight, but it keeps on saying as if it is interested in meeting sunlight. Snow cannot meet sunlight. Can it meet? The moment that you can't have the possibility of snow meeting with sunlight. Snow dissolves. Very deep verse. We'll see it again next week. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.